Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, unbothered, impermeable, unbothered. I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand. Melania, permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist. Fake world, an imposter. Only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C. That's my roster. You know I just.
Hello, happy Tuesday.
Oh,
what's
family.
Up? Happy Tuesday.
All right. Sounds good.
Oh,
happy Tuesday.
Man.
What a week. What a 2 weeks.
Wow.
Oh,
well, I just have to say, before we start, I heard you was on fire last night, Daddy.
Oh, we was just trying to, we was trying to keep our lamp lit for Trent.
Oh, where can we find this knowledge? Because I'm very curious. I need to, you know, listen in and watch and open my eyes and tune my ears.
There we go. It was the Carl Nelson Show. It's a program that's syndicated, but it comes up out of Washington, D.C., WOL. If you go to my Facebook page, I've got a link to it.
Okay,
well,
the information's on your Instagram, too, I saw.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I got a little snippet on there.
Yep.
About 6 minutes of it, you know. But I got to thank your brother, because your brother is the mastermind behind all of this. And so,
that's funny. That's
yeah, he's the one
funny.
Putting it all together. I speak to that brother more
funny.
Now than I've ever spoken to him in my life.
That's usually how it works.
You know, we've spoken throughout the years. But now there's a consistency that is,
mm-hmm.
Well, I really appreciate it because, you know, well, you all know when we was growing up, you know, I was always saying, you know, hey, once everybody matures, everything is going to change. If we as the parents could just hang in there with all the different changes that we're going to go through,
mm-hmm.
then everything would be all right. That's what I used to always tell y'all. I said, no matter what we're going through,
mm-hmm.
eventually
it's
going to
okay.
be all right.
And now it's more than all right.
Yeah, absolutely. In every facet of what we're experiencing, because I'm just so proud of all of you and what all of you have achieved and what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
Just your responsibilities and your personalities and everything, you know. And I give a lot of credit to your mother for that, you know. I mean, I know the part that I played, but I give a lot of credit to your mother for all that she did and, you know, things that she did to make sure things worked out. So. But it's good, and I
she's
think
she's watching
again. Like,
she's looking at you right now, isn't she?
No, she's in the other room.
Blink twice
she's
if
talking,
you need help.
She's talking to her aunt. No, I'm just gonna let out a holler.
did you get the nice present that I sent to your house?
I saw what it was.
Did mommy show it to you?
Oh yeah, I saw it. I saw it, and I saw all the ramifications that came after it, too.
Yeah, oh, God.
Yeah.
God, that's hysterical. When I saw it, I thought of you guys, and I bought it right away and sent it to you. As soon as it said delivered, I called Mommy right away.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see it. I may be the one that inherits it.
I know. I figured that. I said, make sure that you share it. And now she doesn't have a choice.
Well, I think it's going to be more than a share. I think I got something. But yeah.
Well, I hope
you
enjoy
it. Oh, yeah, I will. My style. And I
well, it's about time that you, you know, because mommy likes to take all of your stuff that we get for you. So it's about time.
Yeah, well, that's
exactly.
The one way that I can get it, through force.
The only way.
Yep.
We got to pretend we're giving it to mommy so that she gives it to you.
That's right. That's because if you look in that case that you got me, okay, jewelry case, okay, that was a big jewelry case.
Yeah. Hilarious.
You know?
That's hilarious.
But old sister put it together. And
right.
Put it together, all right.
And she put it together. She claimed her spot.
That's right.
You know, oh boy.
The whole thing.
Yeah, when I opened it up, I said, "But now where's my space?" So there's enough space there for you.
You don't have that much stuff. You don't have as much stuff as I do.
You don't need all that space.
Plus,
you don't need all that space.
That's right. I'm a woman. I'm supposed to have all that space. You're a man.
Right.
You only have
all the space.
That's it. That's it. But hey,
You need space for your deodorant and a comb.
Toothbrush.
Oh, a toothbrush. Right. But the toothpaste.
And we can share the toothpaste. But it's my toothpaste I want to share. But that's how
right.
it is. Happy wife, happy life.
There you go.
That's just the way it is. But it's all good. It's all good. And we're just moving through the process right now and trying to get things going.
Sometimes.
So how's everything with y'all going along?
Oh, everything is
blended. Trying to avoid outside. I'm just trying to avoid going outside. We went grocery shopping today, and I don't plan on going. Because it's hot. It's too hot. I like heat.
It's
like
hot.
I like
it's humid.
And we have to wear masks.
Got to keep
the
mask on. Yeah.
It wouldn't be as bad, but it's just too hot. Night, like a heat wave and a mask is just like, all right, I'm just going to stay in the house. I don't want to go. I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. You know,
I don't want to go outside.
And, you know, like in New York, it is still to be concerned. You still have to be concerned, but. You know, I have to say, I think New York, maybe because it hit us first and it shocked us.
Right.
And for some reason, other states didn't think it was going to come to them. They thought it was going to rise and fall in New York and that was going to be it. They didn't realize the nature of – and you know what? I blame the school system for that. I really do. Because
– Is it because it made them stupid?
They never –
I'm kidding.
About
it was a joke. That was a joke. That was a joke, huh?
Well, in a sense, you're correct, but the way I'm saying it is that they never taught people what a real virus was. Every year, children get sick.
Oh!
When did we ever have classes on what to do in the classroom? Because I used to have classes when the children were sick. And, you know, I'd be in the classroom like, at the time, we had to, well, really, if I can just say this in sense of modeling what should be happening in the classroom, everyday experiences with the children, and help them understand, they would understand what a virus is. A virus is very simple. It's a coward.
Oh.
And what it does, it searches for the weakest part of your body. And that's where it settles. And it's trying to survive. It's a parasite. It's trying to survive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Osmosis Jones taught us about that.
Say that again.
Osmosis Jones. The movie with the commentary, what was the comedian? Chris Rock.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Chris Rock was the germ. And he was the white blood cell. And he, so it gave a whole story of, you know, him trying to fight off germs and make sure that the body stayed healthy and everything.
This is a movie this is something they played for children in school?
Yeah, it's a movie that came out in theaters. I think you took us to see it, Daddy.
I may have.
It's called Osmosis Jones.
Interesting. Well, you know, then I think that
and
let's
recommend
that.
And also Magic Bus.
Yeah, Magic Bus.
Oh, the Magic
yeah,
Bus, definitely.
Yeah, that's for sure. I taped every one of them. And and also
come on, the Magic
Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And wait. Fun fact, Lionel Richie sang the theme song for the Magic School Bus, and I didn't find this out until after he passed away. I did not know this until after he passed away. I was like, no way.
Oh, the Magic
no
School
way.
Bus.
It is true. It is true.
Wow.
I had no idea. That's hilarious.
That's funny.
But you know,
yeah,
I will say
funny.
That what you say is true. But what you say is true, because even at my job, like, the fact that there would be people that go use the bathroom, and we're all adults in the building. Like, even when Christian would go to my job, he still would wash his hands when he left the bathroom. Like, I'll hear people sorry, TMI. I'll hear people using the bathroom. And then I will hear no water, and I will hear the door open and close. How? How? I don't care how much tissue you use. People are very nasty. If you're on the train, people are just coughing out in the air. Like, that is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I think about the most is that the way that this virus is spread, if we were more cleansed, if we were cleaner, not us specifically, but if the world was more cleaner, if people were cleaner, I honestly don't think it would have spread the way that it did. Because, like, it's spread by touching with infected hands. It's spread by coughing and a space. Like, it's one thing, okay, you're talking to somebody that's infected. But if you're, like, coughing or yelling, because even yelling releases more spit than talking. So if we weren't always yelling at people and cursing at people and being nasty and hygiene-wise and attitude-wise, it might not have spread the way that it did. But this really shows you the character, the personalities and the characteristics of people. Because, like, I've learned so much about people in the last how many months? Is it 7 months? I've learned so much about people, and especially about America. Like, you think you know about America, but, like, this is not.
Yeah.
I thought I knew, but this is, like,
if you think you know,
I still get surprised.
But you have no idea.
Exactly, you have no idea.
It's not even just us. I mean, we're seeing it because we're televised in the United States, but there are other countries that come here and they're dirty. And they sneeze everywhere, cough everywhere.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Everybody.
It goes back to the home. It goes back to the home, and then it's then the problem is transferred to the school. Because when you all were growing up, we had a basic understanding of how life was lived. Anytime that you are doing anything that can dirty your hands, you wash them immediately. And not just that, it was you need to make sure that you have house clothes. And you have clothes that you wear when you go out. You don't You don't do that. You change your clothes and
I'm so passionate about that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I am just so passionate about outside clothes and inside clothes. Like, it's just, and there's outside clothes, inside clothes, and then bed clothes. Like, I can't deal.
Well, we grew up, it is not a reality of the outside. Common sense is not so common when it comes to
things that
it would make sense. You know, if you wear something outside, all of the particles in the air, some place that you may have sat down,
right?
You know,
right.
On a train,
especially
New York City, disgusting.
And I explained to you when you were young. I explained to you why. It wasn't just do this and do that. I explained to you. When
that
we
was,
would get on the bus or on the train and the seat would be soiled, I would say, you see there, Sasha or Kandika, you see that? If you sit in that, you know, and it wasn't like dirty that you wouldn't want to sit like nasty. It was just dirty. I say, you see that? You sit down and then you go home and then you go and you keep your clothes on and you sit on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to go to bed, but you're carrying the germs that you picked up from the train seat or bus seat into your house. So you got to change your clothes.
Yep.
When we would come home, first thing we do, go to the bathroom, and we take the fingernail file and we would clean our nails and our and hands, because it was more than just what you touch. It's what get up underneath your nails too. You could clean
right.
your whole hand,
right.
but the stuff could be under your nails.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of life.
Yep.
And so
yep.
it starts in the home where you explain, like with Caress. Whenever I take Caress out, he always knows what to do. And
we all explain it to him.
And I told him what to do, but I can tell what he does is more a habit that was formed with you all, with you and Chris,
yes.
than with me. It was just a
yep.
habit that he had. And now he does
from
it.
From before he could walk and talk. Before he
That's
could
it.
Walk and talk, I was teaching him manners, please and thank you, to hold the door. He won't go through the door. If there's people coming in the building, he will not go through the door unless he's already going through it. But if he's holding the door, he holds it for everyone. I'm like, all right, so the person is like down the block. You don't have to hold it for everybody. But you have to teach it to them.
But that's where it starts.
And his
that's,
common sense,
yeah.
yes, and his common sense is building. Because if he asks me a question, we have a conversation about it. And I'm not just saying that to just say it. Like, we literally will have a conversation about anything. If he
tell
has a question,
about
I do the same thing.
Tell me about it. This man has 21
why,
questions.
Listen, that's why when we go to the supermarket, I'm like, bye-bye. Go ahead with
auntie. All the time. He'll be like,
and
well, auntie, how about you? Well, then how about that?
He talks to you from the moment he sees you until the moment that we separate. And he talks, and it's great. And it's great, and I will never stop him from doing it. We always talk, and we always think.
Yeah.
So we've been having conversations since before he could talk. And I think that people
yeah.
are missing things like that. They're not having conversations.
Yeah.
when I hang out
yeah.
with you guys, we're having conversations, even as an adult. But
yeah.
him, when
but
you
I
talk
think,
to him,
I think,
you're having a conversation.
Yeah, but it yeah. goes back to, you know, the way in which people operate. And it's like kids, you're not supposed to have conversations with kids. Kids are supposed to be seen and not heard. They have to sit
right.
at a different table, you know, so therefore the discussions are not had. But, you know, even when he was over last weekend and we were hanging out and I saw the news article about Tamar Braxton. I don't know if, Daddy, you saw that yet. But apparently there's allegations of her trying to overdose
take
on medications and yeah. And
take her life.
I said it out loud, forgetting that of course Christian was there, you know, I just said, oh my God, like I just read this. And he said, and he was like, well, what does that mean? And so we had a whole conversation about suicide and, you know,
mm-hmm.
why people, you know, want to take their lives and things like that. And then he says, well, you know, and I said, a lot of times people don't know how to cope and they don't know how to have conversations. He's like, yeah, well, I know I could talk to my family. I have a lot of people I could talk to. And another outlet
Aww.
I have is like, and he, like, names
he
all
said,
like,
outlet,
different ways.
Did he say?
Yeah, he
did
said
he
outlet
outlet?
Or something. He said outlet or
oh,
something
yeah, yeah.
on that order. And I was just like, what kind of kid is this? But it was just like regular conversations that you would have with your peers, you know, you can have with the youth, and we've been doing it, and you've been doing it since he was born.
Right. You have to respect
and even
children
something,
like humans.
Yeah. No, it's true. And you know,
and
they'll be able to operate, and they'll be able to have conversations and operate. It's how you introduce it to them and you know,
yeah.
continue it.
And you have to acknowledge their feelings. Like, you can't
yeah.
you can't just say, oh, you're a kid and you act like this and you're going to be in trouble. Because, like, even if Christian gets in trouble for something, I have a conversation with him and I explain to him why things are done a certain way and why they're not. But even there's some things that he's able to do, but he has to understand that the world might not understand it. Like, if he talks a lot or if I say something and he wants to, you know, say that it's not that it's wrong. Well, that it's wrong. If he feels like it's incorrect, a lot of adults, oh, hell no, that is disrespectful. And I'm like, Christian, you can't have those conversations sometimes in front of everybody. Like, if you have a concern about something that I say, we need to talk about it, you know, t- talk to me about it. But there's certain things mm-hmm. that people just don't get to. Like we've been raised a certain, like not us, but our community has been raised a certain way. And sometimes you're just not allowed to do certain things. And if your kid does it, people don't get it. So sometimes you also have, not only do you teach kids, you know, what they're supposed to be doing, you also teach them how to move in the world so that even if they do have certain feelings and certain sensitivities and certain emotions, they're able to cope, like you said, they're able to cope with the world the way that it is, even if their thoughts might not be able to cope with it, but they're physically able to deal with it. Like a good person able to deal with a horrible world. Not only have to teach the kids how to be good and be positive humans, you also have to teach them how to move in a world that might not appreciate you being so good. And that's a difficult task.
And but the times of trying to avoid conversations is over and done with, because kids can Google things, they can ask theory, they can look things up. At such
they
a young
play on
age
Fortnite, and
you,
it's on Fortnite because one of the people on Fortnite does.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you have to have these sort of conversations so they know what's right from wrong, and they know they can come to talk to you about anything, and it leaves them less susceptible for the universe to swallow them alive and to teach them and to misteach them how so many people are, like, they're not fact-checking. They're just going on what others say, because you couldn't ask a question, so therefore you just had to listen to those that you know were your elders, as opposed to actually being able to ask questions, process things, because that's the one thing that Christian he was putting two and two together from such a young age. Like, he would ask me one question correlated to something else, bring it together and say, but Auntie, but didn't you say this? And you know, there are certain things that couldn't necessarily, you can't say I they're unavoidable. Like, there's certain questions that may not be comfortable, may not, you know, necessary. You may not even know the answer to, and you can say that because you're human. I'm not too sure. Let's look this up together. How can we find the answers to that? And those are just basic fundamentals that you can teach at such a young age that they can take with them and make the biggest of changes as they get older.
Yep, and I do that as an adult at my job. If I don't know something, I'm not going to make something up so I look good. I'm going to say I'm not sure of the answer, but I will find out. And that's I have no problem being wrong. I have no problem not knowing, because I don't believe that knowing or not knowing, or, you know, I don't believe that makes you intelligent or better than somebody. Being good and being smart is willing to learn and always wanting to learn. But it has, like, you have to be able to acknowledge when you need, you know, to get more information, like you said. Like, you have to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And that's just teaching them that even if they're wrong, it's not the end of the world. They're not going to be, you know, looked at any differently or ridiculed if they are admitting, I'm not too sure what the answer is. Let's figure this out together.
Yep. And even you know, any child that comes into my, like, that I have conversations with, and especially if they're in my vicinity, like if I'm watching them or if there's a play date or something, the most important thing, if something happens, let me know. Don't try to hide it. Don't lie about it. The most important thing is that we work on correcting it and fixing it together. That's one thing that I do not tolerate, is any child being dishonest with me. That is never, and any child that's been in my vicinity and we've had a conversation, you ask them, they remember the conversation. There's no, you know, because kids are not trying to be deceitful. Sometimes they're scared. You know, I've had conversations with Christians before. Sometimes they're scared of getting in trouble. But they have to understand as they grow up that they have to be honest, and they have to be able to admit when they're wrong and when they do something. You know, that's your character. You know, your word is your bond. Is that how it says? Your word is, like, your word is all you have. And if someone loses trust in you, they can never move. Like, there's really no moving forward with it, because anytime somebody says something, and I don't care if you're a kid or an adult, anytime somebody says something, if they've lied before, you're going to assume that it's, you know, that it's a lie. So there's a lot of different things that I think that kids should be taught when it comes to, you know, and it will follow them into being an adult.
My mother always taught me the only reason why you lie is because you're afraid. And that's how I've always thought about when there is a time.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, well, maybe you quibble or maybe you cannot present the truth. There are times that you can do the right thing at the wrong time. That's possible. And what children have to learn is the contradictions in life. For instance,
right,
got to know the difference between what is rhetoric and what is logic. And when someone is speaking rhetoric, rhetoric is when they, both of those are part of the art of persuasion. You're trying to persuade. Rhetoric is when you are using emotion to persuade somebody to do something. Logic is when you're using evidence. Okay. Now, with that in mind, let me give you an example of what I mean when I talk about contradictions in life. When I was growing up, my mother used to say to me, your grandmother used to say to me, if your teacher gives you 10 math problems, you do 20. If you have one chapter to read, you read two chapters. I'm young. I'm 7, 8 years old, she's telling me this. And she said, because in this country, for a black man to be equal, you must be superior.
Okay.
Now, that was a contradiction. And she said, Skip, don't ask me about if it's fair, because life isn't always fair. Now, that's how I thought since I was 7, 8 years old. That, you know, well, that's not fair. How many times you hit you? That's not fair. Well, life isn't fair.
Right. And
so, you know, some people used to say, you know, Janet, that's my mother's name, Janet, that's kind of harsh. You know, my aunts and uncles and people that would hear her talk to me or hear that she told me that. They would say, but that's kind of harsh. Why are you telling him that now? She said, because he asked now. Because he's watching the civil rights movement. He's watching John Lewis get bust upside his head. I saw it when they bust him upside his head. I saw it on TV live. Well, not maybe it was live, but maybe it was recorded. But I saw it. What you're looking at as if it's 50-something years ago, I saw it when it happened. And so as I'm reminiscing all of this, our children have to be spoken to. This is why I say, let's look at the civilization. Let's look at the society, okay? Well, the fact is many mommies and daddies are not talking to their children the way I spoke to you and you speak to your children, things like that. It's not happening. So what happens? Do we keep blaming the family or is it upon the responsibility of the school? Which I believe it is. And that's how I operated with my children, with the students that I had 5, 6 years old.
But that's the difference between an educator and a teacher. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there's a difference. There you'll be a teacher and then there's an educator.
But you see, the thing is that you have to love and have a passion for teaching. It can't be your side job. It can't be because you failed at everything else you decided to become a teacher. It's a passion. The same way with a lawyer. When I think of what lawyers have to do to prepare their cases, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. To be a doctor, that's a lot of – I would not want to have a doctor that became a doctor because everybody in my family doctor, they made me a doctor, but I really would rather be a guitar player. I would rather you be a guitar player. And you have to have a passion. You have to have a love for it. But teaching is an occupation, it's interesting now, that the requirements are so low to be a teacher. Anybody can be a teacher. And so, you know, with this Teach America and all these other things, the idea of going on a crusade to get teachers is a good idea. I'm all for it. I'm on a crusade to bring particularly brothers into the system, particularly to become kindergarten, first grade teachers. I'm on a crusade for that because I believe we could change around our schools if there were more brothers in that building to balance
yep.
off what the sisters are doing. Because sisters are having, like most things that we see in life, they're having to carry the load too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being in schools that the female teachers were really very happy to have me there. Some of them, the sisters in particular, and also other cultures, but particularly because the balance that I gave to an elementary school as a man created a situation where, I'd be passing a class, a third grade class, and the teacher would say, Brother Booker T, that's how they called me when before it was Kaba. Brother Booker T, Jamel is having a rough day today. And I would look at Jamel, and Jamel would have that stink face on. You know, he'd be mean mugging. I say, hey, Brother Jamel, what's going on, man? What you look so serious for like that? You want to come for a walk with me? Come on, man. I said, Ms. Jones, can he come for a walk with me? I got a couple of things I got to do. I'll bring him right back to you because I know there's a lot he's got to learn. But can I just bring him with me for a while? And, boy, Jamel was so happy to get up out of the seat to walk. And we would walk in the classroom. I say, hey, man, what's going on? How you doing? I'd ask him things like, what you have for breakfast or, you know, what's going on? And eventually I'd get around to what got him pissed off. And most of the time it wasn't what happened in school.
Mm.
Something may have triggered it, but whatever it was mostly the absence of that relationship in the community or in his home.
Mm.
And
wow.
I feel that for that moment, I filled that void in his life. And I knew it. That's why I had him come walk with me. And when I brought him back to the class, I say, you know, if I put you back in here, you're going to do the right thing, Jamel? You know, and he said, yeah, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. He would just sit down, and I would look at the teacher. I would wave at her, and she'd wave back at me. That's what men can do in a school. That's some of the things that a man can do. Even as a classroom teacher, I would bring children into my classroom that weren't in my class. And sometimes they weren't even in the grade that I was teaching.
That happened all the way up to college, too.
That happened all the way up to college. But that is the passion. That's what makes doctors great. That's what makes lawyers proficient. That's what makes teachers efficient, is that you love what you do. And
that's
I don't
true.
Care if mommy's telling you this or daddy's telling you this. When you're in my presence, you are my child. And I'm going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be personal hygiene. I used to have classes where I could, where I would contact like Colgate. I would also go to different stores where I would, everybody in the class had to have a toothbrush and toothpaste. I used to have dental programs. They had dental programs where people would come in to children how to brush their teeth and, you know, the purpose of it and how to go up and down and how to brush your tongue. Because a lot of people brush their teeth, but they don't brush their tongue. They don't brush the upper part of their mouth. They don't brush the outskirts of their. These are things we need to teach the children.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody ever taught me to floss. Wasn't no such thing as floss when I was growing up. Wasn't no proctor brush. You had toothbrush and toothpick. That's what you had. That was your choices. You know, I could go to the store and I'd get like in a package they used to sell like 30 combs. And I would buy a comb for all the children. You got to comb your hair. It didn't apply to all the children, but to those that it did.
Yeah.
This is what teaching is. And if you're not going to get there, then get out. Find your nick in life. Just like that doctor that's going to kill you on the operating table because he really would rather be playing the guitar than operating on your liver. I don't want you in. I don't want you in a classroom. But now let me tell you something else. Let's go into the police department. The police department and police are the heroes of the community. They are the heroes of the community. They're the heroes. When something happens in the community, it is my responsibility to run away from it as a citizen. It is the policeman or the policewoman's responsibility to run towards it.
Yeah.
It is their responsibility to defend the community. What an awesome responsibility that is. What an awesome responsibility
and de-escalate.
It is. And to de-escalate is an awesome
and
responsibility.
Protect.
And so what I say to those that they say, well, the majority of the police force is good. What I'm telling you is that the bad ones are making it bad for you.
Yep.
And just like when people complained about one of the greatest things I got in challenge for when I was in teaching, along with the other things that I did, it was I did not hesitate to confront a teacher that shouldn't be a teacher. And I would apply pressure in my own way for them to get out. Because I could tell you don't want to be with the children. You're just here because it's phenomenal benefits. It's a great salary. And maybe your husband works for a corporation and he's making a lot of money, but he ain't got nowhere near the benefits that you have. So as a team, with your benefits and his salary, y'all are living pretty good in Long Island. Or in Nyack, New York. But you don't belong in this classroom. And if you really want to be a teacher, teach in your neighborhood. Get out of ours. I didn't say it as as that. I didn't say it as harsh as that. But basically, that was the tenor of my conversation with them. And every time I passed them, they got so nervous because they knew I was watching them. I watched them constantly. But that was the pride I took in education. The police need to take that kind of pride in being police.
Well, everybody needs to take that, whatever your profession is, needs to hold people accountable, hold yourself accountable, everybody else.
Right.
But the
and even if it's not what you
want to
do with your life.
But the police have the ability to kill you. There's a little bit more of a situation when you're a policeman. You're right. Yeah. Every profession should do that. You should be so proud of what you do. You don't want people that misrepresent your occupation. That is true. But the danger of the police is that they have the power of life and death.
Yep.
And if you're gonna repair the community, you better repair that. And so all of these things combined, when we look at this situation, we understand it may not be happening in the home. But it's happening. And by the way, just let me say this about the police. In South Central Bronx when I taught, I used to do programs with them frequently.
Mm.
I was part of the PAL athletic program. When I was a gym teacher, I used to bring students to the annual Olympics of the PAL. I also worked with the DARE program. The DARE program was the drug and street organizations and things like that, just coming into the school, talking to the children. They used to have different types of activities. They used to come pick me up at the resource center, and they would bring me to the policemen would bring me to various schools. The way I got into Rikers Island was because a captain used to come to my presentations, and he worked at Rikers. He said, brother, we need to get you into Rikers, because he was – he worked in Rikers. He said, man, we need to get you in Rikers. And while I was there, I was able the officers at Rikers Island would bring me around to all the officers, the correction officers that were down with the information that were following my work. The same with the police. Even here where I live, there's a policeman approached me. I said, okay, what's going on now? He said, man, I watch all your stuff on YouTube. He said, you live here?
Wow.
I said, yeah, I live here. He said, where you live? I said, I pointed out. He said, I'm going to keep my eye on that building because ain't nothing going to happen to you while I'm around.
Wow.
I know good police.
Wow.
I know so I don't need to be told that they're good police. I've worked with good police. And they have done great work. I've had children, when we used to do the PAL program, I had children say, "Ah, Brother Booker T, this is the first time in my life I ever won an award. Might be for track, you know, it might be for the relay race, it may be for anything that was part of the Olympic Games." For some of the children in the Bronx that were in my class, this is the first time they ever got an award. And it came from the police. And it created a positive image of how you can come into a community and how you can be of service to the community. I know what it is to be a good policeman. That's the travesty. That's the catastrophe of what we're watching today. Because everybody talking about revamping the police, but guess what? The police didn't become like that when they became police. They were like that before they even got into the force. You got them like in the teaching department. You've got them in corporations. You've got them in libraries. Everywhere in the world, they bring that disease with them in whatever they do. They don't become like that when they do that. They were like that before. So we got work that we have to do.
And on that note, I think
we
got to
get the paralysis out the analysis.
Exactly.
I done.
I think we should go to the song after that conversation.
There we go.
So we'll be right back.
Fight the power.
Used to be a lot, I thought I knew for sure. Funny how your pride is silenced in a storm. Low peaks, valleys, high, blinding silver lines. Don't always want to buy the lesson that's in store. So tell me, can you hold me? Come for me when I start feeling lonely. Sometimes I let my feelings control me. And a lot of people love me, but you know me. I'm trying to find my place, keep my pace, make my way. But I can't push the weight in my strength. I need your grace. I know I can't do this alone, alone, alone. Mind. Running to it all, I know that I'll be fine. Running from my truth, that's a race I'll lose. Falling on my knees, but still I rise. And that's because you hold me. You comfort me when I start feeling lonely. And still I let my feelings control me. And a lot of people love me, but you know me. Know me, I'm trying to find my place, keep my pace, run my race, but I can't push the weight in my strength. I need your grace. I know I can't do this alone, 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 alone. Can you see me through the unknown? I know. Feeling lonely, I don't want my feelings to control me. And people say they love me, but you know me. Yeah. I'm trying to find my place, keep my pace in this race. But I can't push the weight in my strength. I need your grace. Alone, 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 alone
my favorite songs.
What was that?
Right now. That is called Unknown by Jordan Sparks.
Oh, okay. Oh, Jordan Sparks. Okay.
Yes, and it has such a, like a gospel, huh?
No, I said give the sister some props.
Yeah, because that's like the first time I heard that song, it just, because it has a gospel feel to it, but it also, you know, even if it's you're talking to yourself, you're talking to your spirituality, if you do believe in whatever religion you have, like that, the song really, really just, every time I listen to it, I can't do anything else but listen to it. I really, really appreciate everything that song is. So I had to share it with everybody.
Oh, that's good. That's a nice song. Very nice. You know, it's funny because I said, that don't sound like Beyonce, but it's along that type of thought, you know.
But she, you know.
Does anybody know why you laughing?
Oh, you said it. man.
But that's a whole funny other thing. No, but it was a great song, though, so I give kudos to my sister. So.
I love that song. But we always have this good conversation, so, we wanted today to be just, you know, talking to each other and just trying to give as much positive energy into the world as we could.
Well, you know, the bottom line is we're going to get through this. You know, I'm learning a whole bunch of things. You know, when you said, Sasha, earlier about what you're learning over the past couple of months about people, this is a very valuable time for us all to really, because you see, these kind of things bring real people out, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, okay,
yep.
One of the things that I had mentioned yesterday, for those that may have missed the interview that I had, they contacted me last week because I've done the program a number of times. They contacted me to ask me, would I be willing to come on to speak about what's happening in terms of the issues with our brother Nick Cannon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they had known that I had worked with the brother. They had known that I had been exposed. And also they know my work. They said, well, hey, this would be a great time for you to combine, you know, how you feel. And it's interesting, the feedback that I've gotten since the interview, because your brother let me know on Instagram, because he put up a segment up on Instagram. He put a six-minute segment, which I told him was, for me, very important. So he put that up.
Mm-hmm.
And
he did a great job, too.
You know, even with Megan Thee Stallion, okay, with what happened to her. Okay, for me, what I look at with Megan Thee Stallion is I see a sister.
You said it correctly. You said her name correctly.
Megan Thee Stallion.
You said her name correctly.
All right.
It's correct.
There we go.
I was just laughing because you said it the normal way.
Yeah, but you know, that was a mistake.
Oh,
I should have. That was a mistake. If I said it right,
actually,
it was a mistake. Megan
Thee
Stallion.
Her name is actually Megan Thee Stallion, not The Stallion.
That's right.
Two E's. B-H-T-E. Megan Thee Stallion.
Yes. And
oh, my God.
And if she had named herself Megan Thee Stallion, I would have called her Megan Thee Stallion.
Yes.
So somehow I would have gotten it my way, because I like to do things my way.
Oh, it's okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please go ahead.
The way I see her is I see her as a sister, in her own way successful, doing what she'd like to do. I don't always agree with some of the things. I don't. But that's not me. That's her. She do she, I do me. So I may not agree with you, but that doesn't mean I'll ever turn against my family. And if you black, you my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't turn on you like that. You know, all the friends that Nick Cannon had that are now all up in his stuff, okay, you were never his friend. Because friends are formed during times of controversy and conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Friends are formed, you know, when times are hard. They're not formed when it's easy. Anybody could be your friend when it's easy. But it takes a certain kind of person to say, brother, I ride with you. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I may agree with you, but I'm with you. And I think that with the cancel culture and with the other things that are going on, people have been bred over time to do this to each other, to just wait for the bait to go out there and they just attack. There are things I don't, even with Kanye, even with Kanye, what he said about Harriet Tubman. Look, it's obvious that Kanye has nobody in his life that truly loves him. I'm sorry, I would have to take the brother. I would have to do one of those things where I just have to kidnap you and put you in a damn home for you to think about how you acted.
Oh,
come on,
Dave Chappelle, I was watching a video that Dave Chappelle went to go visit him in his ranch.
That's a good person. That's a good person to go, in my opinion, after what he went through. And
he's disappeared.
That's a
good
person to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so it looks like people are reaching out.
But you find out
about people when stuff like this happens.
And you see RZA, Islam put something up. I don't know if you saw what RZA put up. And he put up a really interesting way of looking at Kanye. And to me, it was the way in which, you know, because he's saying, look, you know, I mean, I'm paraphrasing what RZA said. But he said, first of all, you have to understand, when they put him away, they gave him electric shock and they put him on drugs. And that alone can alter your thinking process. He said, first of all, we know Kanye's never been the same since his mother died. What RZA was attempting to develop was an understanding of having compassion for the brother and to understand what the brother's going through. Because, you see, what Kanye said, you know, goes back to what we talked about, Sasha, about the index cards.
And about the
way the neurons are connected in the brain and the way Kanye thinks and the way he talks. You know, it's like you put a paragraph together with, let's say, five sentences, and you write every sentence on an index card, and you number them 1 through 5. However, just before you're about to say what you wrote on the card, you drop the cards and they get out of order. So the first thing you say might have been card number 4. The second thing you say might be card number 2. So while the way the human mind thinks and the way it responds, there's a section in the front of your brain, and it's known as the Broca section. B-R-O-C-A. That's responsible for your speech development. That's what allows you to speak. In the back of your brain and in the under part of your brain, you have another area known as the temporal lobe. That's your frontal lobe. You have a temporal lobe. Your temporal lobe, there's an area known as the Wernicke section, W-E-R-N-I-C-K-E. That's responsible for your understanding and comprehending speech. When you have disorders, many times, whatever it may be, it could be a hit on the head, it could be drugs, it could be anything. It could just be natural, the way you think. But basically what happens is that everything gets out of order, that what you are listening to, you're not comprehending. It can also work what you're saying isn't comprehending with what you're thinking. And it appears that as I watch people, and I'm not just going to point at Kanye, but a lot of people say things that they don't mean. And a lot of people say things when you walk away from them, you say, what the heck did he say? I don't even understand what he said. Neither does that person. Because what you hear and what you speak and what you think you're saying could be different. And I think that we have to have mercy on our people. We have to get up off of them. And we have to do a very critical, because the day we as a black community choose to disagree with another brother or sister, but still love them and protect them, we got it. When they can stop dividing, when they can stop dividing us, they will stop conquering us. Kanye did his thing. He's brilliant in what he does. And he's brilliant in many different ways, but there are disorders that we all should recognize.
But it's obvious that he's battling. He's battling things. And it's like people, they have a hard time with separating the genius from the person. And it's like he's creatively a genius. He's where he wants to be and where he aspires to be. But on a mental note, the fact that he's just breaking down and the things that he's saying, and, you know, one is not relating to another. You know, when you have a thought process and being able to get that thought process out the way that you wish it to come out, it's a skill, and it's not an easy thing for people to be able to do.
That's
and
right.
So what I saw when I watched that his rally, or I guess it was his rally or his campaign, was just somebody who has things that he's tried to put under the rug for years, and now they're just all being blurted out, jumbled up, not making sense.
That's right.
But it's almost as if how we eat and we'll have like pizza and cake and ice cream sandwiches, and then all of a sudden, up you go to the bathroom and throw up, and everything ends up in the toilet. You're not going to see the ice cream and the pizza and you know, the cake. You're going to see things that are jumbled up that don't make sense. But it's just, you know, it's you getting out what needs to get out, and you know, maybe him purging the way that he did will bring him to a better place mentally that he needs to be. Because I was going to say that his mother, they were saying like his mother's birthday had just passed last week. And, you know, just dealing with the pandemic and being inside and us fighting as black people to be able to have a voice and feel as if we are who we actually are inside, but it's hard for us to understand who we are if we're told something different our whole entire life. So what I'm seeing happening with a lot of people in general, but a lot of African American people is a combination of the virus and everything that the pandemic and you know, the anxiety and panic that coming from it, and things that are being said on TV that are embedded that we don't fully understand. And, you know, it's causing a lot of underlying mental illnesses to be presented. And most, if not almost all of the times, it's being exacerbated because they've already had that sort of underlying situation where, you know, they may have had an anxiety, and this, you know, everything on top of one another, the pandemic, the protests, seeing black people, you know, everything that's going on with, you know, us as a black people. And then it's just like one after the other. I can't think of a time that there's nothing been on the news about something or another dealing with mental illness or dealing with people unable to cope and deal with their lives. It's just one after the other. And, you know, we were going to talk about Will and Jada, and within the 2 weeks, within actually a week, I totally forgot. And it's like Kanye, Trump's over now, you know, the whole Will and Jada thing. And there's so many things back to back that are happening.
But what's...
But then Kanye, Trump, Nick Cannon... You know, situation. So it's
I'm saying what's sad is that on a regular level, we all go through these things. on a regular level, nobody knows how they're going to react if something happens to, you know, somebody that they're close to and somebody that they love, and they can never get them back. We hold people to a different standard. Kanye West is a human being, and if you've listened to his music since he's come out, he has always been extraordinarily black, and like at least
yeah.
been like revolutionary black always. And when he lost his mother, and when and he's also talented. So when he got into the fashion industry, and he saw the people that he had to be involved with, the thoughts that he had before mixed with the way that he was getting treated. And the way, who he wanted to be in the, and I think that that's one of the things that's screwing him up. And losing his mother was one of the worst things in the whole equation. But it's also like he's always been one of the blackest people ever. He's always been pro-black and very dedicated to talking about, you know, black people as gods. And when he did a song called New Slave, like he's always been, he said on national television, was it George Bush doesn't care about black people? And then who was that guy? Oh, goodness, what was his name? The one that played, oh, goodness gracious, I forgot who he was standing with. But he said it, and the guy was looking at the camera like, I can't believe he just said that. He's always been the person that said things that black people are not willing to say. And it's crazy because now when people need to pay attention to what's going on the most, he was willing to say things that black people weren't willing to say. And now when it's the opportunity to be there for him, the black community turned its back on him. Even though the majority of his career has been about uplifting black people from the time he came out. I have mixed feelings about Kanye, because he's doing some stuff. He is doing some stuff. But it is obvious that whatever he needs somebody, he needs something. But we would rather cancel him, and we would rather talk crap about him. But he's always said things that most of us are not willing to say. And that's just the way, like, it's crazy that people that are not willing to say it think that it's okay to talk bad about somebody when they don't even know what's going on in his head.
But here's what it boils down to. I think in society, mental illness is not exposed to people, you know, just understanding how dealing with mental illness. And it's such a taboo mm-hmm. topic that people don't fully understand what this entails. And because it's stigmatized,
even if they go through it,
you know,
yeah.
If an individual has been having these symptoms, it's very hard for people to understand and try to make it even worse. And I feel like what society does, and honestly, the industry that he's in, it works against one another. It's like oil and mm-hmm. water, because in that industry, you can't have any ailments. And when I say that, I mean
right.
they
right.
will eat you up and swallow you and spit you up. Like, it's a horrible situation that, you know,
and
he probably has to deal with. Yeah, and it's like it's what the system is set up. So for me, I'm not about mm-hmm. what's this, what's that. My thing is the system is screwed up. The system, the
it
systematic
is.
Issues that we have within
right.
the universe, just even the laws that we don't even know about, that we don't even realize that these laws are written years, decades, centuries prior to that disregard us and you know, they don't apply to us, and therefore there's so many loopholes within the justice system that has been, you know, affecting us in so many different ways, loopholes in everything
mm-hmm.
that we're experiencing, like just seeing how, where was it? It's not a crime, it's not a hate crime to call in Georgia. And it's like, of all places, like Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia is like a hub of black successful business people that are trying to come up with
the rest
the world.
Of Georgia is
and
not
it's,
the same. The rest of Georgia
exactly,
is not the same.
But people are not talking about, they're trying to band-aid things as opposed to getting the root,
mm-hmm.
getting in there, digging in there, taking all the gunk out, and then healing. But like Daddy says, everybody wants to have. Yeah. But here's the thing. It's just like, look at our body. When we have any sort of situation, so say we have a cut, in order for our skin to heal, we have to allow it. We can't do. We have
breathe.
To make sure that we're cleaning it. We're keeping
mm-hmm.
it, you know, safe. We're not, you know, like exposing it to things that may make it, you know, make it worse, infected
mm-hmm.
or anything. And it's a healing process. It doesn't happen overnight. We can't, you know, instantly try to heal ourselves. It's a process of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like so many times within so many different ways, people not only forget that everybody is human and you know, they may be off days, they may be on days, they may be, you know, days that we just want to be by ourselves. We're only human. We have to allow that. But we also have to stop holding so many people up on this pedestal just because they're in high-paying positions
mm-hmm.
that they don't have
mm-hmm.
a lot of issues. Because in order for you to be in that high-paying position or high position, you have to have some sort of disorder in a sense where you'll do anything to maintain that you know, that chair or that title or that job that you may have. And it's like a lot of these people that we look up to, that we, you know, that we aspire to be, they got a lot of issues because they're human and they've never dealt with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I wouldn't want to walk a mile in their shoes.
And it goes
nope.
back to understanding and respecting the mind. And, you know, like
mm-hmm.
you said before, Kandike, there is such a disregard and a disrespect for someone who is having mental issues. But you know something? We all have mental issues in one way or another
mm-hmm,
by matter
mm-hmm.
of degree. And
it's how we deal with them.
Yeah, and also how we perceive what it is. And
mm-hmm,
again,
mm-hmm.
going back to my experience in education, being around children, I have seen absolute brilliant students who are emotionally unstable.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I have seen students who couldn't pass a test who are the leaders of the school.
Yeah.
And so it becomes interesting that we separate the emotional intelligence from the academic intelligence. We separate
mm-hmm.
the fact that somebody can be a phenomenal performer or a phenomenal sports figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we look
yeah.
at the young man who is a swimmer, he comes on commercials. You know
Phelps.
The swimmer?
Who? Michael
Phelps.
Michael Phelps. Okay. I mean, the genius of him coming forward. I mean, people looked at him and felt a regard for him and a thought for him. And when he came forward, it was a bold move because he put his career on the
mm-hmm.
line.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
You know, he went decathlon. In other words, he won 10 events.
He's the man's man. That's what that event.
He was the manliest man ever.
That's exactly
yep.
what the decathlon represents. Everybody has their own individual events. They win,
yeah.
things like that. He had 10 events that he won.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But who exactly was he? Who
yeah.
exactly was he that would become she? Okay.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
You know, everybody's shocked, but I'm saying if you understood the parameters and the infinite boundaries of the mind, then you would have room for everybody
mm.
to be everybody no matter what, and you wouldn't be surprised. You might not have expected it from the person,
yeah.
but you're not surprised when you find out.
But then when you look,
you
could see the signs, like, and you see, you know, back in the day, they said that he, you know, he's been in other positions where he's been wearing women's clothes and he's been seen previously. So, I mean, just for that instinct, but, you know, just understanding, like, when somebody comes and says something, then you start to, like, really evaluate and you're aware of certain signs and signals that people give you.
But you recognize the signs, but you also allow there to be signs, and you accept the fact that there should be things that are not just what's going on in your head. Because most of our issues is because we expect the world to be the way it is in our head. So when we judge other people, it's our perception of the way that we think the world should be. It's none of our business the way that everybody else's world is. You know, I don't want anybody hurting anybody, but the way that people choose to live their life, the way the people that people choose to date or are attracted to, and it's not a choice, but that's actually their attraction, how they dress, is none of anybody's business. And it's crazy to me why anybody thinks it's their business to judge and to say things for somebody else.
Because
like
people
make
are
up
so
laws about gay marriage.
But people
like,
are
why
they,
should
they're so but because they're so caught up in that they first of all they don't have a life or they don't have control over their lives and they want to forget their lives, so therefore they focus on others. I'm too busy focusing on myself to try to focus on somebody else's life to try to tell them about themselves.
But what you just described, what you've just described in terms of what you said, that is the basic premise of an Ice Age mentality that Africans got when they depigmented themselves and came back down into the world. It became very judgmental. And we've been, look at the TV shows. It's nothing but cancel culture. When you have
everybody has judges too.
The dancing, the singing, all of these have judges.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's
who
judging.
Are those judges?
Wow, I didn't think so.
But who are those judges? And who put?
But
you
who
in
are
place?
You to judge somebody?
To be able to judge somebody singing. Look at what they did to Jennifer Hudson. Do you remember anybody she competed with on American Idol?
No.
Nope. And
no.
She didn't even win, right?
She didn't win. She didn't win, but look at where she got. Emmy Award, Oscar Award, Grammy Award, indie shows, going to be Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that we are living in a society that everything is competition. And everything is somebody got to lose. Instead of celebrating all the great talent, somebody got to lose. This is what we're living in. American Idol, look at all of them. So you think you can dance?
Mm-hmm.
Look at all of the shows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is
everything
somebody's
got
to win
everything.
And somebody's got to lose.
Everything.
Their entire society
and
is based around musical chairs.
But in order to win, and that's where the competition, in order to win, people will lie, cheat, and steal. So that also adds to it because you don't have talent in order. There's a lot of people who don't have talent, they do other things to ensure that they actually are winning because of what winning is perceived to be.
Well, just look at
we got
what you
work
see
to
happen.
Do.
Well, the society has work to do. But this is a turning point for us as a country because the very worst person we could have as the leader of this country is sitting in the White House. The very worst.
Yeah, yep.
And the people that he entertains, the people that follow him, the one thing that he's done,
evil.
They have tapped into the deepest recesses of the concept of hate. Mm-hmm. And that's why no matter what he does, whatever he does, they'll support him. Not because they support him. And the people that support him couldn't even get on his golf course or in his hotel. He is repulsed by the people that follow him.
Mm-hmm.
He looks upon them like they're crumbs, like they're dirt.
And he'll do it in your face.
And
he'll
doesn't
do it in your face.
Care. And the thing is, but that's not the point. See, the point is that they satisfy his deepest craving, and he satisfies theirs.
And that is the difference between us and them.
This is what they thrive. And don't you think that as those children, our young children, brothers and sisters who happen to speak Spanish, but are our brothers and sisters from Guatemala and El Salvador and Mexico and all these places, don't think that when they are crying, those children are crying in pain and fear, don't think they don't enjoy that.
Mm.
You see, we're trying to figure out what's wrong with them. To them, they thrive on it like a vampire that sucks the person's blood.
But think
they
about this concept.
On that pain.
But that's where a lot of people get it from. The fact that they were able that people were able to watch others get killed, watch others get hanged for sport and cheer.
Yep.
And have
have
meals to watch this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the barbarism. Think about what sort of mental things that you had to deal with in order for you to find joy out of another person's death and pain.
That's right. Think about it.
But they've always had public killings. Always, like throughout history, they have had public killings where they prayed. Judge and jury, and they played God. Like they've always had that need to be a God because they lost it inside of them. So they need to be it inside. Like they're always searching for it. So they're always looking for that, like to control humanity because they lost the God that was in them when they came out of the ice age. They lost the God. That's why
their
God isn't even real.
And their God is the image upon which they built themselves. Because their God was an angry God. It was a jealous God. It was a God that would freeze your baby
judgmental.
To death in your arms with no mercy.
Wow.
And so they now
and
have that
And this is in
same...
the book. And this is in their book.
Oh,
the book that they value as their God's book.
That's it. And it's there, but now
and
the question is...
Us.
What do we
They convinced us that it's our God, too.
And they also convinced us that their God gave them the right to do to us what it was, and some of us believe it. Some of us actually believe it. As I've heard people say.
That was like Drakomania?
Drakomania, yep, absolutely. You must be out of your mind to be free. That's a disease for black people. They want to be free. And also the idea that it was them stealing us from Africa and enslaving us. That made us into the sophisticated people that we are today.
Oh. But I've heard
that
black people say that.
We should be thankful that they did this because they brought us up.
I've heard black people say that. I feel like Ben Carson said something along those lines.
Yes, I've heard a number of people say that. And the same thing with Native Americans. They say the Native Americans should be happy that the white man came here. Because the moment they came here, they brought civilization here. Despite the fact that Native Americans in New York were eating with forks and spoons when Europeans were eating with their fingers.
And taking baths once a year.
You know, once we get to understand history, and I invite people of European descent to study their history, understand who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You may be their color, but you're not their kind. But the thing is, you better right the wrong. You better get up in here and do something with your people. You don't need to be with us. There are times that we can be together. That's nice. But the bottom line is, you have to fix your people. Your people are troubled. They have problems.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dying
mm-hmm.
out. And they're only making it worse for the future generations because let this build up. What do you think those children on the border are going to feel towards the children of Mitch McConnell, the grandchildren of the other congressmen that are doing this? What do you think they're going to do to them when you're no longer the majority in America?
And that's what they fear.
What do you think they're going to do? You know, one of the things they're going to do, and I'm telling folks now, you better do it now so you get your word in. They're going to rewrite the Constitution of the United States.
Good.
The Constitution needs to be rewritten. Stop telling me about your forefathers. Ain't nobody interested in them slaveholders and pedophiles. I just don't want to hear that no more.
Fired.
Don't be quoting them with me. Don't be quoting them with me. You know, if you're going after Woodrow Wilson, everybody going after Woodrow Wilson now. One Harvard or Columbia, I forget, have a school named after him, and they going to rename that school from Woodrow Wilson because he was a racist.
Mm.
He showed the movie Birth of a Nation back in the 30s. that racist movie back in. No, in fact, it was earlier than
the 30s. Blackface.
But it was called Birth of a Nation, and it was and it was done by Ku Klux Klan members. It showed Ku Klux Klan. It showed all sorts of. He premiered it in the White House. Okay, so now they're trying to remove him.
Wow.
But Donald Trump was right. Once you start removing people, all white people going. What about George Washington?
What you
going to do with George Washington? One day George Washington
Thomas
will be in
Jefferson.
The minds of the American people the same way people think of Hitler. George Washington
but you know
was
what's
as
funny?
Crazy as Donald Trump was.
Do you know any Washingtons, like anybody that's white that has the last name Washington?
Well, yes, I do.
I know a lot
of
black people.
Yes, I do.
I know
do.
A lot
yeah.
of black people
Washington.
With Washington.
Yeah, well,
Kerry
well,
Washington.
Denzel Washington.
Name one step first.
Oh, yeah, right.
There's a lot of...
How could I forget Kerry Washington?
Or Denzel.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
But let's take that. But let's take that one step further to give you a reason to want to think about that. The original African in the Louisiana area, particularly in New Orleans, were known as the Washita.
Because
I knew a sister named Empress Verdeci, who was the leader of the Washita people in New Orleans. They were original Moors. They were the original African that claimed ascendancy. Mm. And they came from the nation known as the Washita.
A descendant!
Okay.
I'm sorry, I was watching that video the other day.
Oh, my God. I was just going to ask you, I was just going to say you must have just seen that video the other day to remember that.
What video is that?
The one that your boy did about Herbie Hotep. Yeah. Herbie Hotep.
I'm a descendant of Frederick Douglass. I'm a descendant.
Sorry, I digress. There's just certain trigger words just remind me of.
Well,
now you can see what happened to our home when we was growing up. I can't tell you how many conversations we've had that went just like this.
Listen, we all have a lot of tabs open in our brains as it is, and then all those tabs come out into different conversations.
That's right. That's right.
Well, this conversation ended up being great. It always is great, but I really, I know sometimes we talk about specific things and then venture on into other things, but I think it's great just to talk every once in a while.
I was just going to say that the importance is the ability to have this conversation.
Yeah.
And the comfort level.
And we do this with each other all the time.
And it's like somebody just happened to come into our house and we were together and we're having a conversation. This is exactly how it used to happen. And it happens even now.
Exactly. Exactly. Sometimes we're having conversations and I'm like, oh man, I wish this was the show.
it's quite something else. But the key is to just keep on keeping on. You know, this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think that things will get worse before they get better. For as long as this man is where he is, it's going to get worse.
Well, Donald Trump,
but at least we know what we do not want.
Well, the bottom line is, what are we going to do?
What did we learn?
And what are we going to do from what we learn? And that's my bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
We can do all the talking we want. This is a strategy. And the strategy that you use must be in your best interest. And it must work out for you. And you must feel comfortable in that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what we got to do, family. You know, we got to look
out
for ourselves.
That's right. Keep on keeping on.
That's it. And you got to look out for yourself. And the number one, we have to stop fighting amongst ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop fighting amongst ourselves and find solutions and allow people to be human beings. Allow them to be vulnerable and fragile. Let them be that and still respect them. despite that that vulnerable nature. These are trying times for everybody, and it's a hurting time for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
I count my blessings every day, during the day, because there are brothers and sisters. There are people around the world who were already being challenged before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in this situation. We have to move forward and be sensitive and understand there are people that are hurting. And I understand that you may be hurting, but your hurt ain't going to get better if you use it to hurt other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hurt people hurt people.
Instead, we heal people who need to heal people. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to do. We have to tell each other it's going to be all right. Like I used to always tell you, no matter what we're going through, once we get on the other side of it, it'll be all right. Because if you could see that, then you can understand, well, I ain't too happy where I am right now. But at least on the other side, we're going to make amends for what's going on. And we always did.
You got to have hope. Mm-hmm.
That's it. And practical hope. And once you get on the other side, the question is, what did you learn? Because winners don't lose. They either win or they learn. The question is, if you won, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you didn't win, what did you learn so you'll win next time?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I want to add just something to that. To make sure that you take the message and stop focusing so much on the messenger and focus more on the message. Because a lot of these people that people want to cancel, they're not listening to the message. They're just looking at the person, but they're not looking at what they're
saying. That's
right. But what's wrong with people need to stop canceling people in that sense of they say something, so therefore they're canceled. They're out of here. Go in the corner. Don't talk to nobody. People need to heal. People need to grow. Canceling them is only going to make them relevant in order for people to go with them that just want to be within the limelight or to, you know, it's not something that is going to help anybody that's involved in the situation. So instead of canceling,
nobody cares.
Give a hug. give,
not yet. Though.
Be like,
not
I
yet.
I understand.
Not yet.
Air hug.
Not yet.
I understand you may be dealing with some things. There we go.
Wakanda, there we go.
Because it's like you stop canceling.
Just
subscribe to what you would like to subscribe to. Stop trying to cancel your subscription to people.
Well, you know,
to cancel the negativity inside of them instead of trying to cancel other people.
Well, you know, that's what I was going to say. Most people who cancel other people have been canceled themselves by somebody. I have never met someone who thinks on a level of acceptance and embracing people on that type of level and would ever cancel them. It just doesn't work.
That's true.
If you are canceling people, it's because you've been canceled.
Yeah.
Because if you understood the power of acknowledgement, acceptance, and approval, you would understand that is the three A's of your life, and when you give it to somebody else, they'll give it back to you. What they don't realize is that if you give a Wakanda hug instead of canceling, that act alone will cancel out your cancellation.
Yep. But
you just
nobody wants that. That's why the TV shows that that are, you know, are positive and saying great things. Nobody watches them. People watch Love and Hip Hop Atlanta because they want to, like, see people fighting.
Yes. Well, you know something? That's why they'll remain where they are.
Right.
You will remain there. You know, you can't be on the first floor, refuse to go up, and then complain because you're always on the first floor.
Mm-hmm. Tell that to certain people.
They will
sit there and wallow within their misery and wonder why they're still miserable to this day.
Well, that's why they're miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, the bottom line becomes, what are you going to do? Did I ever tell you the story about the dog that's on the plank of nails?
That's what I was thinking of when I was saying it.
I told that story to everybody.
Okay, so when we're getting down on that level.
When it hurts hard enough, they get up.
Yes. That's
they'll
it.
Get up.
That's
it.
You'll make a change.
Yet.
When it really hurts.
Uh-huh.
When it's really at the point where you got to make a change, you'll make a change.
And that's it. And
but
that
some
is
people
what,
have become comfortable in the pain of on the plank.
Mm.
They enjoy it. It's comfortable. The pain is comfortable for a lot of people.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
Let's heal people.
Well,
let's heal ourselves
and
let's heal others.
I have the perfect song to go along with the way that we ended it, and it also
touches on the
cancel culture. And it touches on the message and not the messenger. So, on that note, I won't
there
say what it is. You're gonna have to Google. You're gonna have to Google the words. So everybody have a good night.
What?
You're gonna have to Google the words to figure out.
This is
out
not lyrics.com. This is not back in 1993.
Genius lyrics. Or get your Shazam. Open up your Shazam app and figure it out. Because this song is so relevant to what we were saying, and it also touches on the cancel culture. So, everybody have a great week and enjoy, and we'll see you soon.
Look
there
forward to
go.
It.
Keep
Hotep,
on
family.
Keeping on.
Keep on
Hotep.
Keeping
Hotep.
On.
It ain't over till we win.
All right.
Broken hearted. People are the first ones. Once they start it, they can be the worst ones. Love is a weapon if you don't use it right. Now we're watching control my life.
Hurt people, hurt people.
My mama was raised in the era when clean water was only served to the fairer skin. Doing clothes, you would have thought I had help, but they wasn't satisfied unless I picked the cotton myself. You see, it's broke, nigga, race them. That's that, don't touch anything in the stove. And it's rich, nigga, race them. That's that, come in, please buy more. What you want? A Bentley, fur coat, a diamond chain? All you blacks want all the same thing. Used to only be niggas. Everybody playing. Spending everything on Alexander Wang, new slave. See his leaders and his followers, but I'd rather be a dick than a swallower. You see his leaders and his followers, but I'd rather be a dick than a swallower. I throw these Maybach keys, I wear my heart on the sleeve. I know if we the new slaves, I see the blood on the leaves. I see the blood on the leaves, I see the blood on the leaves. I know that we the new slaves, I see the blood on the leaves. They throwing hate at me, want me to stay at ease. Fuck you and your corporation, y'all niggas can't control me. I know that we the new slave, I know that we the new slave. I'm about to wild the fuck out, I'm going Bobby Boucher. I know that pussy ain't free, you niggas pussy ain't me. Y'all throwing contracts to me. You know that niggas can't read. Don't want some Maybach keys. Fuck it, say live feet. I know that we the new slave. Y'all niggas can't fuck with me. Y'all niggas can't fuck with Ye. Y'all niggas can't fuck with Ye. I moved my family out the country so you can't see where I stay. So go and grab the reporters so I can smash their recorders. Sit their computers with some bullshit like the New World Order. Meanwhile, the DEA teamed up with the CCA. They try and lock niggas up. They try and make new slaves. See, that's that probably on prison. Get your peace today. They probably all in the Hamptons bragging about what they made. Fuck you and your Hampton house. I fuck your Hampton spouse. Came on a Hampton blouse and then a Hampton mouth. Y'all about to turn shit up. I'm about to tear shit down. I'm about to air shit out. Now what the fuck they gonna say now?